Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There are definitely NFL fans, NBA fans, NHL fans, baseball fans who feel like no matter what, they can't get no satisfaction from their teams. Who are the most hopeless franchises in sports right now? I don't mean 50 years ago, although if you were hopeless 50 years ago and you're still hopeless now, that's a definite problem. That's a whole other topic. Who are the most hopeless organizations in sports? And I kind of stumbled on this topic because of a variety of headlines in the last 24 hours, one being the 76ers. They've had so much promise the last couple of years, and now here they are, not only underachieving, but without Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid is injured again too, and this season definitely feels hopeless. Even worse, when they were set up for success, and it's all, almost all, gone down the toilet. A lot of you are pointing to the Cleveland Browns, and I can understand. What do I always tell you? Constant change equals constant losing. But I also think Browns fans feel like they were duped last year. NFL fans who dared to put Browns and playoffs in the same sentence felt like they were taken for a ride. Oh no, here's the cliche that I always mess up. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Did I almost get it? So that's the kind of the idea. Or I guess I could have gone with the easier analogy, crying wolf. Nobody wants to get taken for a ride after the team pretends like it's something it's not. So a lot of people pointing to the Browns. I've seen on both Twitter and Facebook many Detroit answers. And yeah, it does definitely feel like a bleak stretch in Detroit sports. So the answers themselves are wondrous variety. I would encourage you to check it out on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page, because misery loves company, especially in sports. We don't want to be all by our lonesome. So check it out, A-Law Radio, or our Facebook page, and then our phone number, 855-212-4CBS. Good morning to you this Thursday, my final hour on the radio until Tuesday night. Don't judge that I'm taking a little vacation time at the end of February. And also don't hate, because everyone deserves a little time off now and then. And it's actually my only time off until I have to run that half marathon in mid-April. So there's a lot of training coming up. Don't be jealous either. If you're not training for a half marathon, well, then, you know, you have something to be much more cheerful about. So I'm going to see mom. Can't wait. Have to get on a plane in a few hours. But it's worth traveling on no sleep if you can get to your family quicker. 855-212-4227. That gets you inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. Get yours with Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. We've talked a little bit about the CBA proposal that's on the table. And it could take a couple weeks before the entire union membership, so all of the players, register their votes. And I am fascinated by what I feel like is the tip of the iceberg. And I don't know if what we're hearing from the high profile superstar players is an indicator that there's a ginormous iceberg underneath the surface. So stick with me here, my metaphor. We're hearing from a few guys who've poked their heads above the surface of the water. Richard Sherman, Aaron Rodgers, Of course, J.J. Watt had already said hard no on the CBA proposal. Couple of other names that you know, Russell Wilson. We'll let you hear from Marquise Pouncey. He didn't even settle for words. He went full-blown video that needed to be beeped or bleeped, whichever you do. So we'll let you hear it in a second. But what if those players really do represent their respective locker rooms? So Aaron Rodgers says he voted no, as in no for this proposal. No, let's not pass it on to our union membership, the full 2,000 players, because it's not good enough. He voted no. And as it turned out, it was a really close vote by the team reps. So 32 of them, one abstained. It was 17-14 in favor of passing the proposal along to the players to vote on. But Aaron Rodgers was one of those who said no. Richard Sherman, same thing. Rodgers says he represents his locker room. He listened to his Packers locker room, and they are not in favor of this. So he voted no because he represents them. Richard Sherman said same thing. So there's a chance these high-profile players that have poked their heads above the water do in fact represent the bulk of the NFL, where you've got this massive iceberg that's standing in the way of the NFL owners and their titanic proposal getting forced through. But there's also a chance that there isn't a massive iceberg underneath the water, and that these few players who are speaking out don't represent the rank and file of the NFL. And that's the part that's fascinating to me. We don't know what's under the surface of the water. We don't know if the players who are not speaking out, which is most of them, most of the 2,000 have kept very quiet so far on social media. Most of them are not revealing how they're going to vote. So we haven't heard from most of the players. What if they're keeping quiet? Because they plan to ratify this proposal. And they're going to keep their votes to themselves. In which case, these superstars who've chosen to speak out are more the minority than they are the majority. And here's why that's a very real possibility. Because the majority of the NFL is actually not made up of superstars. It's made up of rank and file players. It's made up of players who can't survive a work stoppage. It's made up of players who don't actually play more than five seasons in the NFL. It's made up of players who don't make millions and to whom $100,000 is a lot of money. The entire proposal, or the facts of the proposal, everything from the wages, work conditions, the drug policy, the preseason, all that stuff, the fact sheet that was passed on to the players, that's out there. If you wanted to go read all the technical details of it, it's now out there. It was on Twitter. It was released. So someone leaked the memo. The players will likely have 2 weeks to vote. When it's a union, you have to give proper time for notice and then proper time for your union membership to respond. It can't be instantaneous. Now, the NFL wants this done by mid-March. But according to our NFL insider who joined us from Indianapolis, this could require more than a single round of voting. I just don't know which way this goes. There's a very real possibility that the majority of the NFL, which is made up of rank and file employees, would be thrilled. Shorter preseason, extra money, not just per game, but it grows incrementally over the course of the CBA, or at least the first 4 years that I read, they get extra money built into their contracts for the extra game. And it grows a little bit. I think in the first year, it's $90,000, which is a lot to the majority of the NFL players. Think of the guys in their rookie contracts, guys who aren't first rounders. And so I'm fascinated. I don't know which way this goes. There are a lot of people who believe it's going to be a very tight vote. I've kind of got my feelers out from some various agents to gauge what they think might happen. But until the votes are actually tabulated, this could be a really tight vote, similar to how the team reps went, 17-14. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. There is other news from the NFL Combine. Lots of talk about quarterbacks and draft picks, and it was good to hear from both Mike McCarthy and Ron Rivera on Wednesday. So all the coaches there, lots of assistant coaches as well, scouts, of course, general managers. But right now, the business of the NFL is almost on hold. It's paused. So for those of you who have an old cassette player somewhere, or one of those yellow Walkmans, it's kind of weird to say Walkmans. It's not really Walkman, though. I had a yellow Walkman. I loved that thing. I would go running with my yellow Walkman. I would wear it on road trips when my mom made us go on rides. Ugh. It had not only the yellow case, but yellow headphones that sat over the top of your head. I wonder where that thing is. And then really funny, after cassette tapes became essentially outdated, I tried running with a CD player, like a portable CD player. That didn't work so well. I held out for a long time before my family bought me a little orange iPod Nano. And yes, I am still using it. It's very lightweight, easy to carry. Lots of music on there. My brother gets so mad at me that I don't use my phone for my music. He gets so angry at me. What are you doing? Get rid of that thing. But I love it. It's cute and it's orange and it fits in my palm. So if you know what a Walkman is, Chris, do you know what a Walkman is?
Of course, had one.
Was it considered an antique in your family?
No, when I was like probably until like 7 or 8 was when I got my first CD player.
7 or 8. When did you get your first cell phone?
I was 12.
What? Why does a 12-year-old need a cell phone? What did you use your cell phone for, Chris?
I'll tell you, actually, as a matter of fact, why I got one. Because the rec dances...
It's going to be a long story,
No. 30 seconds or less. The rec dances at in my town got very popular around 6th, 7th grade, and there would be lines out the door to sign up and sign out, and the parents would have to come get you. Uh-huh. So my mom wanted a head start to cut the line to come pick me up.
Oh.
So she got me a cell phone so that she wouldn't have to wait in line with all the other parents, and she knew exactly when to pick me up.
It's really about convenience then.
How about that?
But it wasn't a smartphone, right? You didn't have access to the internet?
I had Snake on the phone, the game Snake, which was a lot of fun.
Dave just gave you a thumbs up for Snake.
Because that's the last game Dave's ever played. That's where his video game playing stopped.
Experience ended.
Right there.
Huh. How old do you think I am?
Could you text?
Yes, we could text.
But yep. Only your mom?
No, I would text.
At 12?
It was a bright and shining day, I remember, because I was one of the first kids that got a cell phone.
What do you say?
One of the girls at school gave me her number so that she could have somebody to text. And it was like a bright and shining moment for me, little 12-year-old me.
Little 12-year-old Chris doesn't realize that the girl was just looking for someone who had a cell phone, not necessarily you.
Oh, I wasn't getting a date with her back then. That's for damn sure. No,
at 12?
No.
You don't need a date at 12?
Hey, those school dances were getting a little raunchy at 12 and 13 years old, you know?
I don't want to hear anymore. I do not want to hear anymore. When my younger niece got her first cell phone, I think she was 9, but she was a latchkey kid, so she had to let herself in. So my brother and sister-in-law wanted her to have a phone so that they could know exactly when she got in the house. That was before the technology would track your child. But anyway, she was only allowed to text like 6 of us, all family members. She wasn't allowed to text anybody else. They limited her phone. So she really wanted to text. This is what she would do. She would send me texts all hours of the day and night. And if I didn't respond within 30 seconds, she would write, "Hello?" Question mark. This is my 9-year-old niece. Anyway, that's funny. I try to remind her now when she goes for 3 weeks without answering a text. Oh my gosh. Now she's too cool for school. I don't know how Walkman. That's how we got on that tangent. Anyway, we pressed pause on the Walkman and we're going to find out, first of all, what happens with the CBA and then the business of the NFL will resume. Coming up next, you actually have to listen to the Marquise Pouncey Instagram rant more than once because so much of it is bleeped out that you won't get it if you don't listen to it more than once. And we're asking you the most hopeless organizations in sports because we feel like spreading some cheer on this Thursday morning. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Man, it's so crazy, man. I vote no. Our NFLPA, the dudes at the top, the leaders, man, that's all bullshit. That. They ain't looking out for the best of the players. And if y'all want my vote, the Pouncey Twins vote no. And if any player any one of our teams, if y'all hurt for rent money or anything while we go through this lockout, call us. Man, we got way more money than what they had back in the days. We ain't got to worry about that. All the vets on each team, stand the f*** up. Stand up. Show these guys that we care about them. Man, I care about all you young players, and I love you guys to death. I ain't going to let y'all down. Trust and believe. They trying to sign a bull-ass deal just so these m***s sitting there president can go around and smile and say, I got something done. You ain't get s*** done.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I told you you have to listen to it more than once to really get the meat of Marquise Pouncey's Instagram rant. I just picked up something hearing it for the fourth time that I didn't on the first three playbacks, and that was the part about, oh shoot, now I forgot. What did I just say to you guys? The lockout. He actually mentions, we're not going to let you down while we go through this lockout. He says lockout. But the thing is, there wouldn't be a work stoppage until 2021. They have a lot of time to come up with an agreement. And the NFL will, if this particular proposal doesn't pass, will be highly motivated, of course. They don't want to go through a lockout either because it interrupts their revenue flow. But I hadn't heard that the first couple of times that we listened to it. I'm so taken aback by the bleeping. And here's what happens to me. This is a great Hall of Fame candidate, by the way. I find myself trying to figure out what the bleeps were. Great, right? Like, can't just leave the bleeps alone. Instead, I have to, my brain starts to think about what did he just say? And at the beginning, there's more of it bleeped / redacted than there is actually available. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. Who are the most hopeless organizations in sports? Okay, because I want you to catch what Marquise is saying, this is his Instagram video reaching out to the players in the NFL to say, hell nah, we're not voting for the new CBA.
Man, it's so crazy, man. I vote no. Our NFLPA, the dudes at the top, the leaders, man, that's all bullshit. That. They ain't looking out for the best of the players. And if y'all want my vote, the Pouncey Twins vote no. And if any player, any one of our teams, if y'all hurt for rent money or anything while we go through this lockout, call us. Man, we got way more money than what they had back in the days. We ain't got to worry about that. All the vets on each team, stand the f*** up. Stand up. Show these guys that we care about them. Man, I care about all you young players, and I love you guys to death. I ain't going to let y'all down. Trust and believe. They trying to sign a bull-ass deal just so these m***s sitting there president can go around and smile and say, I got something done. You ain't get s*** done.
I'm still trying to figure out which president he's referring to. Do you think he's talking about Damaris Smith? Damaris Smith, NFLPA executive director. He's not called the president, but maybe that's irrelevant to Marquise. And he certainly didn't mention the commissioner. He said president. So I think he's talking about their own head of the Players Association. I actually spoken to a player, it was just a few weeks ago in Miami, who said that even in the ranks of the union membership, there's a definite division between the haves and the have-nots in terms of the millionaires versus, as I mentioned, the rank and file, and that a lot of players have issue with the leadership of Damaris Smith. But it is what it is. They've agreed to pass it on to a vote, and so now you've got guys like Marquise Pouncey, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Richard Sherman, a few others, who are at least challenging the proposal. But Pouncey's saying, screw that. We will take care of you if you need money. We'll pay your rent. Now, again, that's down the road. At this point, there's no work stoppage. And to me, that still feels like a slim possibility because the league is so motivated. But right now, they're playing hardball because they can. I think the part that jumped out to me with the Aaron Rodgers post on Twitter, which is what so many players were responding to, is that he was really disappointed. He thought the NFL owners, the league reps, were willing to negotiate over certain things like off-season work conditions, like the time that they have to spend at the training camps or the preseasons. Or even OTAs, the number of practices, the number of hours. Aaron Rodgers was part of that big, long meeting on Tuesday in Indianapolis, and he comes out and he says, I thought those things were negotiable. But the NFL said, nope, we're not bringing that up again. And that's kind of what we had heard last week, is that the NFL's already voted on this and is more than likely not willing to change much, if anything. And so they're kind of running into a brick wall where the owners are saying, take it or leave it. We've given you our best offer. Now, again, if they, as players, vote no, then the league will have no choice. But do the players who could really use the extra money, is it good enough for them? I think it's interesting the way that Russell Wilson put it. Wilson kind of made it sound like they were rushing this through. We should not rush the next 10 years for today's satisfaction. I vote no. All NFL players deserve the same. Players come first. So maybe they do represent their respective organizations. Or maybe everyone else is keeping quiet because they plan to vote yes. 855-212-4227. Let's talk to Chris, who's in Las Vegas. Welcome to After Hours.
What's going on? Okay, I got a few teams. I'll run through them real quick. Northwestern basketball, they might as well play in the Mountain Valley League. The Padres, they seem to get all the Dodgers' old players, and then they're no good after that. And then we'll go switch to Ireland football, Ireland soccer. They never do too good. The one time they make a run, France cheats them. And then last but not least,
did you say Ireland? I never thought of Ireland. Interesting.
Football. They've had so much bad luck. I can go forever. But the one time they start doing good and they're making a run at the World Cup, France cheats them with the handball. Uh-huh. Henry, and then they
the
end
hand
up winning
of God.
Bang. Yep. And then last but not least, I want to shoot myself in the foot with a 12-gauge shotgun, because any Redskins without the year of Joe Gibbs coaching, it's all bad.
Yeah, it seems like a really long time since Joe Gibbs was the head coach there and was running the Redskins. But I have hopes with Ron Rivera. I do. I feel like they've got a lot of rebuilding and winning culture to establish. But I actually am a big fan of Riverboat Ron.
Well, I like him, too. We'll see. I mean, you know, we had Cousins, a decent guy, and we let him go. We had an offensive line. They always got injured. So it seems lately they've definitely been hopeless. Every time they seem to be okay, you know, they were 4-1 winning the division before Alex Smith went out because they didn't have a line, because their whole line was bad.
Well,
they were all injured.
The Redskins are certainly a team that I've seen on Twitter and Facebook, so you're not alone there. I don't think it's the most popular team that people have offered up, but it's definitely among those candidates.
And we'll keep an eye out for the Padres, because they seem to be right behind every team in the in their division.
All right, man. Thanks so much for your phone call.
All right, thanks.
855-212-4227. Andrew Bogus is here in studio. It's not his birthday. The most popular answers to our question tonight, which I won't expect you to know. I mean, I kind of feel like you should since you're part of the show. Mm. But, you know, I didn't know your birthday, so what am I? Who might even request anything? Yes, the most hopeless organizations in sports. I thought we'd spread some Thursday morning cheer.
Yeah.
Yay! The most popular answers are the New York Knicks.
Yes.
The Detroit Everythings. So
unfortunately, yes.
All of the franchises, and still the Cleveland Browns.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting because this time last year, what was everybody talking about? How excite playoffs, hope springs eternal. There was so much hope.
But they're the Browns.
Well, they set you up. They set you up and knocked you down. Also, I did talk about Baker Mayfield and the Cheesecake Factory a little earlier on the show. I
okay.
did. So, and I did it in this context because, honest to God, I don't care what the guy does. It's idiotic, though, to think that it wasn't going to get out with a 20-year-old girl.
Right.
I mean, come on. She's like, her whole life is on social media. So, come on. Anyway, I was just in the context of what would you do if you're Kevin Stefanski? And interestingly enough, the three of us all have different answers. Kevin Stefanski. Dave said he wouldn't touch it, right? You said you would just ignore the whole thing. I just want to make sure I got you right.
I would listen to the audio or watch any video that
but act like you didn't.
Informed, but then I would pretend like I didn't
All right,
know
so Kevin Stefanski, if he's Dave, acts like he knows nothing. Chris said he would have a conversation with Baker where they would talk about a lot, but they wouldn't actually talk about it specifically so that there's no, like, culpability there. I said you get his rear end into my office and I'm going to rip him a new one. Not because of what he did. That's your own thing. But because you just embarrassed our organization again.
Yeah.
And I don't want to hear from you unless it's about you studying the playbook or throwing the football or doing something to learn my system.
Yeah, I kind of like the indirect route that Chris suggested. Maybe it's like we talk about things but not specifics, or like I call your agent and I say, this is ridiculous, make it stop. But I don't know that I have like a straight on,
oh, yeah,
don't be a bad husband if you're being a bad husband conversation.
No, I don't care about that. I mean, I do, but that's not what Stefanski does. I mean, don't embarrass our organization, you dumbass. Like, that's what I'm talking about. We've got bigger things to worry about.
No, I know. That's accomplishes my point, too, of, like, not talking specifics, talking bigger picture. If this is real, this is true, if what happened, that you just say, yeah, stop being a knucklehead and putting us in a spot and putting yourself in a spot where we're not talking about football. But there's got to be a way, if they believe it, that it happened, they have to address it somehow. But not like with any kind of punishment or anything like that.
No. That's not what I'm talking about.
No,
just
know.
This is not what we're doing. This is not how we're going to run this organization. You want to do that kind of crap? Keep it to yourself. It better not get on social media. I mean, that's kind of my,
It seems like a fair request.
I have zero tolerance for this kind of crap when they already are a bit of a laughing stock. I mean, come on. This is what's happening. Cheesecake Factory parking lot. Are you kidding me? I mean, I read that. So after you told me about it yesterday morning, I went home and kind of read the column and was like, seriously?
Yeah.
He honestly thought with a recent high school graduate, this wasn't going. And then he blocked her on social media like that was going
to
fix everything.
Right. Like, and not to downplay the bigger issue of like possible cheating on your wife.
Right,
like,
but
it was just a series of terrible decisions.
Yes.
Like, I don't want to say if you're going to cheat, like cheat better. But that's kind of end up saying.
Yeah, I mean, what he chooses to do, if he wants to be a dog, I mean, there are a lot of people who do that. So
right.
This is not a moral statement. This is are you serious? You really didn't think that was going to get public?
Yeah.
Come on. I mean, just, poor Kevin Stefanski. He has no idea what he's gotten into.
He'll be a Giants assistant coach next year, just like Freddie Kitchens.
Do you think Freddie's happy, though?
I think he goes back and forth. I think he certainly has to miss being a head coach and being in charge.
Maybe.
But if he saw this story, he goes, oh, that's not me. Not my problem.
Thank God it's no longer my issue.
Yeah,
exactly.
Delete Baker contact.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Stafford over center. Little play action pass. He's looking for the deep ball for Jones. And it's intercepted by Janoris Jenkins. He undercut the route. Jackrabbit.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The Detroit Lions have certainly been through a bit of a tough stretch. And actually, it seems like that's more the norm. In fact, the few playoff spots that they've had the last 7 years, Matt Stafford, Jim Caldwell, that's more the aberration than it is the norm. How much longer does Matt Patricia get? We shall see. But that seems to be the most popular answer of the most hopeless organizations in sports. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. This weekend on CBS, a back-to-back college hoops doubleheader as we close in on conference tournaments and Selection Sunday and Monday. In fact, this weekend will be just 2 weeks until the brackets are revealed. So it starts on Saturday with No. 3 Kansas. Should we check these rankings just for fun? No. 3 Kansas at Kansas State, followed by 13th-ranked Auburn at No. 10, Kentucky. Then on Sunday, Big East action between Xavier and Georgetown, and one of the fiercest rivalries in college sports, Michigan visits 25th-ranked Ohio State. Full disclaimer, I do not know if those are accurate. The road to the Final Four is on CBS. That I know to be accurate. At least they didn't give us some copy like they did last week where it said No. 9 Maryland and then No. 9 Auburn. No, it doesn't work that way. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, on Facebook, also on Twitter, After Hours CBS. Who are the most hopeless organizations in sports? This makes me laugh. This is how you know, and it definitely is something that I have to get used to in radio. People do not listen for long stretches of time. Most people with radio tune in, they tune out, they're doing something else, they're walking by the radio, they're driving, they're flipping stations, flipping channels. There are some of you out there that listen for the bulk of the show if you happen to be working overnight. But for the most part, radio listeners tune in and they tune out and they tune back in. Dylan posts on our Facebook page about 50 minutes ago, unless I've missed it, how is not one person brought up the Browns? I just rolled my eyes at Dylan. So I had to inform him that dozens of people have actually mentioned the Cleveland Browns. It's one of the most popular answers to the most hopeless organizations in sports. Check it out, the photo on our Facebook page. It's pretty funny. Chris finds good photos and GIFs and memes for our social media when we have questions like this one. George says, the Knicks, the Orioles, Cleveland. So he doesn't narrow it down to one organization in Cleveland. He says the Knicks and the Orioles and Cleveland. Another really popular answer is the Pittsburgh Pirates. Matt says Browns, Cavs, Indians, Lions. So right now I'd say our top three answers for most hopeless organizations in sports are not Cavaliers, Browns, though the Cavs have gotten plenty of votes. But it wasn't that long ago they were going to four straight NBA finals. Although life comes at you fast in the NFL. Browns, Lions, / Detroit everything, and then Pirates. Gregory has another pretty popular answer. He says Marlins in baseball. And then some of you also pointing to the Maple Leafs in hockey. But that's not the only hockey team that I've seen mentioned. Actually, I'll narrow it down even more. It's not the only Canadian hockey team I've seen mentioned on our Facebook page. Brandon says the Dolphins, they only have the 72 year. Jeff says the New York Rangers, 94 was so long ago. Yeah, but they did make a Stanley Cup final and they had a good run in playoffs until recently they decided to do the rebuild. Noah, well, for goodness sake, it's clearly the Sacramento Kings. So the idea behind a question like this is that there are about a bazillion different answers because as fans, we always believe that our organizations are the most hopeless. So our phone number is 855-212-4227. I said so a lot in the last 10 minutes. 855-212-4CBS is sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work. So get a quote at geico.com. It's easy. Rob on Twitter wants to know, how can no one mention the bumbling Cincinnati Reds? Yeah, I think some cases teams are irrelevant or they've been irrelevant enough that we don't even think about them as much anymore. That actually is worse than being hopeless, is being irrelevant when people don't even think of you, when you're more of a side note. Well, the Reds did make a trade for Trevor Bauer last year, so they were at least a headline for a while. It always makes me laugh, too, when we have people on Twitter who go and read other people's answers, and then they favorite those answers. Like, this one's pretty popular. Now and forever, the Detroit Lions. No, I'm not laughing at your misery, I promise. It's just how you all employ humor to get through it. Chris wants you to know that the Dolphins also won the Super Bowl in 73 and 74, so we shouldn't feel too bad for them. I mean, that was a long time ago. You weren't even on the planet then. So I suppose that if there are some Dolphins fans out there who feel like they're pretty hopeless, I don't know. It's kind of fun to think about the possibilities if they would draft Tua. And I know that's kind of a popular connection for obvious reasons. But the Ryan Fitzpatrick bridge, we'll call it a bridge. He at least brings the leadership. He at least brings the tenacity, the aggressiveness. If you're tanking, he's the wrong quarterback. So they were never going to get the overall number one draft pick, not with Ryan Fitzpatrick running the show. And he obviously wasn't the plan. They were hoping that Josh Rosen would end up being their quarterback of the future. They're at least willing to give it a try. But sometimes it just takes one guy, two guys, maybe a couple of changes at key positions of leadership, whether it's coach, whether it's quarterback. We don't even have to make it specific to football. But things can look so different all of a sudden when you change a couple key positions. We had someone call earlier and talk about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But I feel like their prospects are so different now that they've got Bruce Arians. I'm so thankful that he is back. So thankful that he's returned to the NFL. Thing is, with the Dolphins, they picked fifth. Now, the Giants don't need a quarterback. The Redskins, this is an interesting one. They might or might not draft a quarterback. Now, Ron Rivera is not going to anoint Dwayne Haskins the QB. And he says, with that number two pick, everything is on the table.
Before we do anything with the number two pick, we got to see what happens with the number one pick. And so once that pick goes on, then we'll go from there. But again, as I said, everything's an option. I mean, we're, you know, as far as in talking with Kyle, we've talked a couple of times already what, you know, situations potentially be. But the truth is, we got to see what happens in front of us.
Well, that's true. But you are going to be prepared going into draft day. You're going to have multiple scenarios, almost a if-then mathematical equations. If the Bengals do this with the number one pick, we do this. If you're thinking about trading that number two pick, though, that's something you'd have to have in place, at least be prepared for and ready for. But if we're talking about quarterbacks, the Giants don't need one. I don't know what the Redskins do there. I mean, it's probably tempting, especially since Dwayne Haskins predates Ron Rivera. And maybe he wants his own guy. Now, he's not going to reveal that now. He's playing his cards really close to the vest. But let's just say, for the sake of argument, the Bengals take Joe Burrow. I don't know why they wouldn't. The Redskins do have QB options, but so do the Lions. So you don't even know who's going to be available at number five. And no, I do not want to see anyone's mock drafts. The Chargers are also intriguing, too, because if they wait until the number six pick and hope to get a quarterback, the guy, or even if they have multiple choices, multiple guys they think they might like, they could all be gone by then. And yet, we're not talking about any of this yet, even though it's the combine, because of this whole CBA proposal and because it's pretty quiet around the NFL business. The fax machines are not worrying. Do they still use the fax machines, do you think? Remember a few years ago when a fax was late getting into the league office, and so the whole contract was completely quashed? I hope they've upgraded their system now. So yeah, it's going to be pretty interesting. And by the time I get back with you on Tuesday night / Wednesday morning, taking a few days off to visit mom, and no, I'm not working from Houston, but I am going to do some covert research from Houston. But by the time I get back, we could have some more information about the CBA. I don't think that the vote will be done, because there's always a chance, but they think it could take a couple of weeks. Combine will be over. We'll have a little more information, maybe, or there could be absolutely nothing that happens in the next few days. I will talk to you on Tuesday night / Wednesday morning. I hope you have a great long weekend. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.